Hey, and welcome. This is Ciola, and you are on Sister Talk. We are so happy to have you this evening, and I just want to tell you, to all of our listeners who have taken the time to call in, I want to say how truly grateful I am that you have taken the time to log in and listen to what I know is going to be an awesome and powerful, powerful show. I want to forewarn you that tonight's show may require some tissue. So I warn you, grab a couple of Kleenex because I'm having a funny feeling that we're probably going to be sharing a few tears tonight. So again, I'm your host, Ciola Abram, and I just want to invite you to the second episode of Sister Talk. And as I said just a moment ago, I want to really take a little bit of time to thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedules to log in. I know that your time is very precious and valuable to us, and we understand that 7 p.m. is a prime time for many. For some, it's dinner time and family time. For others, it may be prayer time or exercise time. And for these reasons, we do not take your tuning in for granted. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, tonight's show, I have the highly esteemed honor to have Sister Talk with my longtime BFF from elementary school, none other than Miss Valencia McKinley. And we will take the time tonight to discuss our longtime and very interesting journey through childhood friendship. We will also talk about how we feel sometimes, you know, the relevance and the significance of God-ordained friendships and relationships are sometimes overlooked, and how timing is always of the essence. You do not want to miss this episode. So I'm just going to be forthcoming with you. We're giving Valencia a little time to chime in with us. She is a masseuse to some wonderful people who have the honor to have those hands of healing touch their bodies. So she's wrapping up some things, and she'll be joining us in promptly 5 to 10 minutes. So I just want to be honest with you and let you know what's going on here. But I also want to take, while we're waiting on Valencia to join us, I wanted to share some information with you tonight if I can. And I first wanted to start by letting you know that the Trinity Tour, and for those of you who tuned in last week, I had the honor of having the women from the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour on the show with me. And as I mentioned in last week's show, I'm actually one of the women on that tour, and I am just so honored to be one of the women on this very powerful tour. And during last week's show, we talked to the women and kind of got their input on how the Trinity Tour got started and, you know, just various questions and what they thought regarding the Trinity Tour. And I don't know about you who tuned in, but I had an absolute blast with these ladies last week. And it was no different than the fun and the excitement and the laughter that we have when we're actually touring together. So it was a wonderful time. So let me give you a little bit of information on our next two tour dates. And the first one will be Saturday, March 11th, and that will take place in Las Vegas, Nevada. We will be at the East Las Vegas Community Center, and registration will begin at 11 a.m., followed by the actual event that will start promptly at 12 noon. And it looks like Valencia just chimed in, so I'm going to finish sharing just a little bit of information, and then I'll pick up the rest of it towards the end of the show, because I am so excited to get this conversation started with I call her Valencia sometime, other times I call her V. So if you hear that, please don't get dismayed by it. So let me just pick up again. The Trinity Tour I just shared with you was going to be in Las Vegas, and that's again on March 11th at the East Las Vegas Community Center, and registration at 11 a.m., followed by the actual event that starts promptly at 12 noon. And then the next Trinity Tour will be taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. And man, I am so excited about this Trinity tour as well. But let me tell you a little bit of information before we go on about the Phoenix tour. We will be attending an event in Phoenix, Arizona, and that is the 6th Annual Pastors and Leaders Healing Conference with Pastor Linda Wright. And she is the founder of Hearing God's Ministry. Now, this is a 3-day event, and we'll begin with a night of what I am sure will be some powerful praise, on Thursday, March 30th. And it will take place also on Friday the 31st and come to an end on Saturday, April the 1st. Now, for more information, I would encourage you to visit their website at hearinggodsministry.org. That's www.hearinggodsministry.org. And our Trinity Tour will take place in Phoenix the very next day, which is Sunday, April the 2nd, at Total Impact Ministries International Church. And this is the church home of Apostles John and Meekness Licato, who have so graciously opened their doors to us to host our Trinity there. And we are so grateful to them both. Registration for this tour in Phoenix will begin at 1 p.m. and the event will begin promptly at 2 p.m. Okay, I have some more information that I want to share with you, but it looks like Valencia is just as excited as I am. And she is on the line. So I'm going to take just a moment here to bring her online. But before I do that, let me just apologize. If you hear the dog barking in the background, it's not mine. It's my neighbor's. We're still working out the little details, but just bear with us. I'm sure this is going to be a really exciting show tonight. So if you can get past that, I think we'll have a blast. So give me a moment while I bring on my lovely, lovely BFF, Miss Valencia McKinley. Hold on. We're going to get her on. Valencia, are you with us?
I am. Hello, Viola. Hello, friends and family out there. Thank you for having me today.
We are so excited to have you. Oh, my God. Are you ready to cry and boo-hoo?
No. And I want to make one little blurb. I'm also in the car, so if you hear horns honking, that's just my neighbor. It's not me. So I'm on my way home. So I'm in the car. Just bear with us on this.
I love that. I love that. So before we get into the meat of the conversation, I just want to let our listeners know that on June 23rd, which is Friday, a Friday evening, and Saturday, June 24th, we are so super excited about having you as one of our guest speakers. Tell us how you're feeling about that.
I'm pretty excited. I'm extremely excited. This is going to be an eye-opener, not just for myself, but for the people that will be listening. The subject that I'll be talking on is the power of touch. And I've been doing massaging for the past 17 years, but the power of touch goes beyond that, and we'll talk about that in June. So I hope all of you guys will just come and join us. It's going to be an amazing, amazing event.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you talked about the power of touch. I'm not going to go into that, but I just want to share with our listeners. Valencia shared with me her topic that she was interested in discussing at the Trinity Tour, at the Living Life and Loving It Women's Conference. It's our 4th annual women's conference. And what she said to me was the power of the unwanted touch. I am here to tell you, when she shared that with me, my mouth dropped wide open, and I thought, this is going to be something so incredibly powerful that you do not want to miss it. So Valencia will be one of our guest speakers at the 4th annual Living Life and Loving It Women's Conference. I encourage all of you who are listening in to check us out on our website at www.sceoanew.org for more information. All right, Valencia, let's get into tonight's conversation. And
yes.
I shared on our Blog Talk radio show, I titled it A Friend Indeed, A Bond Unaware, A Strength Unknown, and A Friendship Unhindered. So before I get to the first question, is there anything you want to kind of add to the topic? And when you read that, when you saw that, what hit you? What did you feel?
I first visioned all of my friends. I took a look at each and every friend, past, present, and I wanted to feel what they actually bring to me in my life, and their journey has brought me joy. It has brought me understanding. It has brought me wisdom. It has brought me so many different things. Each and every one has touched me in a different way, and but there's one particular that has touched me in a major way, and that goes from 1976 to today's date. And now we're going to talk about that.
All right, all right. So with that being thought, with going back to 1976, and in your words, tell me, what do you recall about our meeting? How did we meet?
I recall meeting Ciola right after the passing of my mother. My mother passed away in 1975, and I met you at Alessandro Elementary School, and what I felt was the connection. It was an amazing connection. It was a connection that I hadn't felt in my younger years. What I felt was that this person didn't judge me, that this person didn't tease me, that this person didn't cast me aside, and that she made me feel like her equal. Ciola was a strong influence in my life at the age of 11 and 10. I was so connected with her. I'm tearing up a little bit here, guys, and it's raining too, so I'm sorry. I felt overwhelmed. I felt powerful. She gave me strength that I can do anything. We sang together. We played together. She was my inspiration.
Oh, okay, yeah, this is going to be a hard one. I want to let our listeners know the reason why we are talking about this friendship. It's not just talking about any friendship. It's talking about how children, the relationships that children have are very significant. Sometimes we don't see them as being significant. We don't see them as having an impact. But we're going to hopefully take you from 1976 up until now and show you how God is so amazing and strategic in what he does, and how this relationship was the saving grace for both Valencia and myself. And so, V, I want to comment on how we met as well. You know, it was during a really tumultuous time or challenging time in my life. Obviously, I didn't know that word at 9 and 10 years old, but, you know, to today I understand it as being, it was a very challenging time, you know, as those who have read my book or who may read it, I talk about my mother and the last 3 years of her life, she struggled with alcoholism. Now, this wasn't the last 3 years of her life. It was probably the last 7 years of her life at this time. And nevertheless, my mother, during that time, we were living at different places, different motels. We actually, at that particular time, we did have our own home, but that didn't last for very long. So Valencia and I were attending the same elementary school, Alessandro Elementary School in San Bernardino. And I believe, Valencia, we had the same school teachers, Mr. Mack and Mr. Cochran.
Correct.
Okay. And so, you know, I remember being able to go to her home, and I would stand in front of her front window waiting for her dad to pull up in his brown Cadillac and give me the approval to go into her home. When I spent time with Valencia, it took me away from the alcoholics that I was constantly around. It took me away from the molestation that I experienced. It took me away from everything that I saw during that time. It allowed me an opportunity to be a child. And that's why Valencia spoke a little bit about us singing together and playing together. We actually had an opportunity to be little girls. And that is what I recall about our meeting. You know, very interesting times. So is there anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
Well, because of our friendship and what we were experiencing in our home, what I was experiencing in my home was feeling that emptiness, the loss of my mom. And even though being the seventh child, my father raised and my mother passed away. So after being the seventh child, and feeling somewhat not connected and having that relationship with Theola, it made me feel comforting. Many times I wanted to run away. Many times I wanted to take my own life because I felt that emptiness. I felt lonely. And knowing that Theola was coming over the next day, or attempting to try to come over until my dad gave further approval, it felt like my life was saved, my life was spared, knowing that I had that outlet, knowing that I had a friend that didn't judge me, that didn't talk about me, that didn't just lifted me up. And she lifted me up without words. She lifted me up. We lifted each other up in song. We lifted each other up in tumbling. We lifted each other up in finding four-leaf clovers on the side of the house, mm-hmm. not realizing that today I stand knowing that relationship helped me from a life of despair.
Wow. I would agree to definitely the same thing. You know, I don't want to jump ahead, you know, with the questions, but it's so easy to flow, you know, in the vein that we're in. I want to ask, this may be redundant, but let me just ask the question anyway. What do you recall most about our childhood friendship and connection? I know we're both talking about how that relationship then as children saved us and to some degree even protected us, you know, and provided a safe space for us to dwell in. It allowed us an opportunity to be kids. So outside of that, let's talk about some of the fun times that we had, I mean, that we could recall about our friendship and our connection. I have one in particular there's many, but I just want to hear what do you recall? Is there, are there specific moments and times that you hold on to or that you go back to in our childhood that were impactful, if you will?
I go back to us wanting to touch as many lives as we wanted to, because we both wanted to be singers. We both had a voice, and we both wanted to just shout from the top of our lungs, you know. I think it was, you know, a lot of love songs that we wanted to express. And we did that without any hesitation. We did that in the house. I mean, we would just scream, and we thought we sounded good. I believe
I'm
like
telling
that.
You.
But that connection that we had, that's what I remember the most about our childhood. That connection, our voices sounded like thunder to me, and it sounded like that there was no one else existed in the world but just us and our voices, and that everybody was able to hear it, even if there were cries inside. But there were still, and it was music, and it was loud. I can remember that.
Wow, that's interesting. I remember one incident we had specifically, and we were standing by the front door, and I think we were rehearsing what we called our little dance. You remember singing to the top of our lungs, "Don't Keep Stopping" by Yarbrough and Peoples. Tell me, do you remember that moment?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't remember it, but you have to refresh my memory.
Okay, let me remind you. We were standing by the front door, and we were singing Yarbrough and Peoples. I'm not going to try and sing it tonight because I don't remember all of the songs. This was like 40 years ago, my goodness, or 38. And it was "Don't Keep Stopping." Remember that song? I know we sung a lot of Prince songs together, and I know we sung a lot of songs together, and I agree with what you said. That was singing together and performing together was definitely one of our outlets. I think it was an outlet, you know, maybe the screaming and the yelling and the singing was a way that we could express the inward pain and the inward tears that we wanted
Absolutely.
To cry, perhaps. You would agree with that?
I totally agree, because I still do it to this day.
Me too. Me too.
I do.
Okay, secret unveiled.
Absolutely. I do it today. I do it in my car. I do it in my bathroom. And it happens to be the same songs over and over and over again. But it releases a lot of the serotonin. It releases a lot of the energy that is being stifled and down and suppressed. And it really helps me. It helps me breathe. Absolutely.
Mm. Amen. Okay, so I want to take this time before I move on to the next question. I want to read a section in the book that I wrote about our relationship. And I did, which you shared today on KISS, Keep It Spiritually Simple, your Facebook Live that you do on Facebook. And they can visit that Facebook page. I think it's facebook.com/KISS, Keep It Spiritually Simple, or under Valencia McKinley, you can find it. So I want to just read this section of the book, if our listeners would bear with me. It says, and it's on page 72, and it is called the chapter, "The Purpose, the Plan, the Process, and the Plot." The trauma of the relationship ending, and I'm talking about my mother's relationship that she had, a long-term relationship that she had, just to give you a little background. It said, the trauma of the relationship ending only sent my mother spiraling more out of control, and the drinking became even heavier. My mother's bout with alcoholism led to some unhealthy relationships and some physical and verbal abuse. During this time, I formed a relationship with a young girl, one of my classmates, and we became best friends. It was pretty amazing. She was the youngest of her siblings and had recently lost her mother. It seemed like I was the only friend her dad would allow to come to her house. As I look back, we both really needed each other. She was the only one who seemed to relate to what I was going through, and I was the only one who could relate to what she was going through. We were so close that she would call my mother Mama. I, on the other hand, was terrified of her father and her siblings. I believe we were able to help each other through some very difficult times. Yes, even children need each other, and relationships formed at a young age have more impact than most may realize. Our relationship to this day is evident of this fact. The times we spent together are memories I will always cherish. Looking back, it was those times that got me through difficult times. I was able to leave wherever we were living at the time, leave all the arguing, drinking, and fighting, and go to her house and be a kid and have fun times. I can remember on many occasions waiting outside of her front window for her dad to pull up in his brown Cadillac so I could go in. It was the only time living with my mother I can really recall being able to be my age. The times we had together were fun times. We would sing Prince songs together, making up dance steps, and spending times together in her kitchen just doing silly kid stuff. We would spend time flipping and playing our made-up games in her family room or hanging out in her bedroom. It didn't seem to matter what we were doing. Our time together was soothing. I honestly believe it was these times that in their own way nurtured us. Would you believe some 30 years later, she would be my maid of honor at my second wedding? God is so amazing, right? When I was writing that, I was taken back into that very time in our lives, and I can recall the emotions as a child that I felt. I can recall how comforting I felt to be at your house. I can recall standing at that window and the sense of desperation that I felt, hoping and pleading that your dad would allow me to come in just so I can have that time to not feel like I had to protect myself or watch myself or protect my mother or listen to the arguing and the fighting and everything that was going on. So for you, what other times do you recall? I know there were times in the kitchen. I know there were times in the bathroom. So tell me more about when you think back to those times, what you felt, what you experienced, and how you see that relating to today.
Well, what I experienced was a little bit different than yours.
Mm-hmm.
When my father wasn't home and when my siblings were gone and playing, doing whatever that they were doing, I felt lonely. I felt sad. I felt empty. And I felt like I just wanted the world to stop and let me off. And that went on for many, many years. And what helped me was thinking that, you know, I wonder if she's going to be able to come around that corner. I wonder if she's going to knock on the door. I wonder if she's going to be at the window, tapping on the window. And I used to be in the kitchen, and I used to sit on the sink where you're not supposed to. I wasn't supposed to. And I would sit on the seat on the sink with my neck out, stretching, trying to see if I could see her from the west, if I could see her from the east coming, and that anticipation of waiting for my friend to come and release all of the anxiety that I was having on being lonely and feeling alone. So I would for those moments, and those moments saved my life many, many, many times. And once you were in the house, it felt like a release. It felt like I was safe. It felt like someone loved me, and I needed that at that moment. And I thank God for you. And I know that God put you in my life at that time to save my life.
I would have to agree that, you know, God put us in each other's life at that time to save each other's lives. And I want to just kind of take a moment to speak to parents out there. You know, whatever you may be going through, don't think that your children, regardless what their age is, that they don't have feelings or that they don't have emotions or that they don't experience loneliness or they don't experience the sense of abandonment. Do you know that you can be in a house and still be alone? And I think that's what, you know, Valencia, you're saying. And I mean, I was with my mother, but still, I didn't feel like a child. I didn't feel like I had a childhood. So coming to your house, as much as you needed and wanted me to be there, was just as much as I needed and wanted to be there, because it was also an outlet and a release for me. I can recall skipping around that corner, you know, coming from Cleveland to your house so that And I can almost imagine myself praying, even though I can't specifically say I was praying a specific prayer, but as a child, I was probably hoping so ever strongly that Dad would let me come in. You know, the thought of him saying no was a devastating thought for me, even back then.
Yeah.
That coming to visit was truly something I looked forward to. It was an outlet that I so desperately needed. And so those moments for me were essential. They were essential. And I just want to say to the parents out there, please pay attention to your kids, you know, because you don't know what they're thinking or what they're contemplating. Because I can only imagine what Valencia was contemplating, what I, you know, may have been, I know what I was contemplating and thinking, you know. And, you know, when a child has no outlet, you know, then what options do you leave them? So please, parents, be mindful of your children and know that sometimes their cry may be silent, but just because it's silent, it's very loud, and I pray that you all would listen. All right, Valencia, let's move forward. So in 2000, I received a telephone call, and the caller said, "Hello, is this Ciola Johnson?" I paused and I asked, "Who's calling?" And you said,
"Oh my goodness. For 30 years, I searched for you. I searched for Ciola. I mean, immediately after you disappeared, after your mom passed away, I searched for you. I was on that long cord home phone stretching from one end of the kitchen to another, calling the operator. At that time, we had an operator. And is there a number for Ciola Johnson?
That's so
I
funny.
Called everywhere. It was because at a young age, you don't really understand how the world works. You don't understand that you can just go from state to state. I mean, I know I didn't. I didn't have that thought process exactly how life really worked at the time and how to locate someone. All I remember is calling the operator. So I remember doing that for so many years. And then thank God for Facebook. Thank God for the Internet, for MySpace, whatever it was, on how I was able to retrieve your number. I don't really remember, but I remember filling that void for many, many years and trying to find that same connection, that kindred spirit, trying to find in many people, in lots of people, in men and women, just trying to find that one common denominator, you know, that's going to say, aha, okay, you're the one. And I had never found it until I found one friend, and she just happened to recently pass away, 2011. But I had found you, found that number, and I was very nervous. I was very scared. I was hoping, because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm 11, I'm 12, and that when I pick up the phone to call you, that you're going to be 11 and 12, and you're going to be just as excited to hear my voice when I call you. So I picked up the phone, and I called. And I got Ciola.
When I picked up that phone, I remember I was living in Oakland at the time, and I was standing in my kitchen. I'll never forget when you asked, is this Ciola Johnson? And I remember I paused because no one knew me pretty much as Ciola Johnson. Even though I left home when I was 17, you know, 4 years after my mother died, I moved to Oakland, and it was really just an opportunity for me to get away from the past, get away from all the pain I experienced, the molestations and the rapes and, you know, everything I experienced. It was so horrific for me as a child. And I remember just wanting to get away. So when I got that call and you asking for Ciola Johnson, even though I moved to the Bay Area, being Ciola Johnson, I came here and really with a desire to reinvent myself, recreate myself, get rid of the old. And to me, Ciola Johnson reminded me of all of the pain. And I remember asking, who's calling? And you said, cuckoo.
Well, that's my nickname that my mother gave me when I was born. So in my younger days, that's where the neighborhood kids and my family, they called me Cuckoo. So that's where that comes from. That's what she knew me as, Cuckoo.
Yes, and I just paused on the phone because I didn't know what to think. The first thing I thought is, what do you want? You know, and it wasn't because I didn't recall our friendship. I didn't recall the level of love and appreciation and safety that our friendship represented. I just instantly went to the pain that I was trying to run from. I instantly went to, oh, my God, no. You know, I've tried so hard to get rid of that, to suppress it, to bury it, and now it's come back. Why? However, fast forward, 6 years later, we got past that, and there was nothing, no negativity after that. We were able to talk with one another, and we eventually made arrangements. You came up and you visited us, and we went to the Jelly Bean Factory, and we had a really good time. And it's just been wonderful ever since then, so much so that in 2010, you were my maid of honor at my second wedding. So how do you like those apples? Tell us about that.
Even though I was extremely afraid to fly, and I'm somewhat agoraphobic and a recluse, that I didn't waver. I didn't waver and I didn't hesitate. She sent me the dress. I went and got it sized, and I flew. I flew up there to that wedding, and what it felt like was us being kids again, doing grown-up stuff. The connection, the kinder spirit was still there because it was just us doing the party favor, just like it was us doing flips, making up routines. Us, when we were doing the reception, it was just us being creative, you know, putting the flower here, doing this. It's the same thing as what it was in 1976. It was still there. So we did not move. We did not waver. Nothing changed. It was still there. So when that friendship was built, when God had put us together in 1976, we were still just as connected in 2010. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was, and it still is. I like what you said, that nothing changed, because it really kind of speaks to what a friend really is. You know, times change, seasons change, we grow, we mature, we have experiences that lend to, you know, us either developing good character, morals and values, or not so good ones. And so this friendship, it has survived life, so to speak, you know, the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs and all of the challenges of life. So this is indeed what I would call a friend indeed. You know, it's a bond that you and I both were unaware of. You know, we're only able to look back at our childhood and use the words that we're using to describe that moment because we now understand feelings and emotions as adults. So we're able to kind of go back in and say, well, this is what I was experiencing. This is how I felt, you know, because of where we are today. And I think that's why I called it a bond unaware, because as children, we were not aware of the bond that God had given us, that he had created within our cord. You often refer to our umbilical cord still being connected when we talk even now. And we talk about, right? And then so,
yes.
You know, when I talk about the strength, there's a strength that's found in our relationship, a strength that we didn't even know existed. And our friendship has been unhindered by the 30-plus year gap that we had. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. I totally agree. I think that God orchestrated our lives just for this moment and for future moments, because there's a message, and there's a message that we are portraying, and we need to get out to parents and to children and to just people in general about what it means to be a friend. It seems like that it's taken so lightly these days, that the connection is not there, because we have the internet, we have texting, and that bond is not created. It's hard to stick. So I think we have a message that we're just trying to get out on what it really means to be a friend.
I think that's good. Would you also agree or disagree that the message is one of hope, that your life, regardless of what you go through in life, let me go back. I like what you said about the bond of friendship is really kind of not taken as seriously as it should be. It's not respected, if you will, any longer. I mean, you know, friendship is kind of taken very lightly now, but if you really kind of take it in the context in which it should be held, we understand that friendships are valuable. They're priceless, as is this friendship. It's priceless. You can't put an amount to this friendship, you know, because it has endured, you know, it has endured time. It has endured pain, because we each have had our own degree of pain and disappointment and trial and tribulation, if you will. And yet, even with the phone call that I received when you called me, and even with my own fears and apprehensions, I didn't allow that to block what was there, the root of what was there. Imagine had I not recalled the friendship that we had back then. Imagine if I would have closed myself off to that due to the pain that was associated with it. I would have never been able to kind of tap back into the joy, to the love, to the laughter that was also associated with it. Sometimes we get so caught up on one part or one aspect of a situation or a circumstance or an experience that we rob ourselves of the fullness of the thing. And I think the fullness is where we are now. We're beginning to see the fullness of what God had even back then. Yeah?
Yep. Yes, amen. Amen.
All right. So my wedding, I want to talk about that, because this was, you know, you have those friends where you kind of sometimes where you're going through an experience and you go, I wish I had somebody that was more like me. I wish I had somebody that could, you know. And I remember Valencia when we did the reception. We went and decorated the reception. We went and set up the table. I still have pictures of us throwing tablecloths on that table. And I remember Carl and I had went prior to you coming, we had went and looked at the venue, and they were telling me, oh, it can't be set up like this. It can't be set up like this. And I remember Carl was like debating, and I'm like, don't debate with them. God showed me, I'm just going to do it. And I remember after we set that place up, and I remember the lady coming back in, and they were all standing there like, wow, we've never seen the room set up like this. And I remember you chiming in, and before we left there, we had a business. We had those. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, who does this? We just came to decorate the table, and now we're leaving here with a contract? I'm like, who does this? And I remember looking at you thinking, do you remember that? And I'm thinking, what is she doing? And you gave me the look like, just roll with it. Just roll with it. We got this. And I'm like, okay.
I remember. That's the marketing in me. That's the branding in me. If there's an opportunity for that, I'm going to jump at it. Oh, my goodness. I remember that. Oh, yeah, because they were really surprised on how we actually revamped their whole facility and made it look like it was something out of a magazine. It was gorgeous. And we did it in an amazing time frame. And we actually moved like we were dancing, because you were doing your thing and I was doing my thing, and we were setting this here and setting that there, and we didn't even have to ask if each other liked it, because we already knew. That was the most amazing thing about it, that I didn't have to double check. She didn't have to double check with me. It was just like, okay, boom, let me do this. All right, well, I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to do this. And it came out beautiful. So, yeah, that's what I mean by kinder spirit and having that bond.
It was absolutely amazing. Not really. It's almost like, you know, when you think about, you know, friendships and relationships, not every friendship, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. And that's the beauty about, you know, friendships, you know, of respecting the uniqueness in each other while at the same time appreciating the qualities that you do share that are so alike. And being able to put that room together, and you're right, it was like moving in perfect harmony. You know, I didn't have to say, oh, I'm so type A personality, it's kind of sickening. And it was so beautiful just to move in that synchrony. And it was like we hadn't missed a beat. Even though we had been out of each other's lives for 30 plus years, even though we really hadn't had an opportunity to have a really deep conversation about everything that has taken place over the years. And while we've had some really good, deep conversations, I feel like we still have, you know, that moment where we're going to spend like maybe a weekend, maybe when we go to Cabo, or a week, and just really kind of catch up on everything. But it's almost like, while it's not necessary, you know, it's needed. But if it doesn't happen, it wouldn't make or break anything, because we're so connected. It's such a beautiful friendship. It's like we should have been sisters, blood sisters.
Exactly.
That's how it feels, you know, like we just should have been connected from birth.
Yep. Sorry, Dad.
I know. Hi, Dad. I really want the opportunity just to tell him face to face what, you know, him letting me in that door meant to me. Oftentimes I think about it and I really wonder, you know, he was an adult and he was intact with his feelings and his emotions, and he understood life because we had no idea. But I wonder, as a parent, as a father, if when he saw me standing in that window, did he really know what I was going through? Had he heard anything about my mother and about my childhood and what it was like? And was that his way of giving you maybe what you needed, and at the same time providing me what I needed? Because when he opened, I'm not going to cry, Jesus, I'm not going to cry.
But Ciola, I don't think that he knew. Again,
really?
We're going to go back to the way God orchestrated this, how he designed this, because clearly my father just allowed his spirit to say yes, because my father didn't know. And again, I didn't know, because I just knew that your life was different than mine. But as children, I didn't know alcoholism. I didn't know any of that was going on. Like, you didn't know that I wanted to kill myself. We were there for a reason. God put us in each other's life for a reason. God touched my dad's heart for a reason, because my dad and I, we didn't have conversations like that. My father was military. My father was yes sir, no sir, and that was it. So our relationship is different than the way the relationships are now with kids, because kids are able to say whatever they want to say. They can disrespect as much as they can. They really don't have that respect that we have with our parents when we were growing up, yes sir, no sir. So I never had a chance to really communicate with Dad about what I was going through in my life, let alone what my friends were going through. So it was clearly God orchestrated everything and touched his heart to say, yeah, you can go in and play with Cuckoo. But because I wasn't allowed to go out, I wasn't allowed to go around the corner, I wasn't allowed to go over there even more near the project. So he did not know. It was God that touched his heart and said, basically save her. You save her, you save your daughter.
Wow. That's powerful, V. That's powerful. You know, it's amazing. When I, as you were talking, I was thinking back to those moments, and you're right. We never even discussed what was going on.
Right. We didn't.
I don't recall.
We never hugged.
This is true.
It was just. I mean, the soul, the spirit is through the eyes. What is that saying? All we had to do was look at each other, and
mm-hmm.
it was connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kindred spirit. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kindred spirit. There's no way. I don't know why I was searching for you for so long, but I had this urge that I had to
mm-hmm.
find you. I haven't
mm-hmm.
searched for anyone else, but I had to find you for a reason. That's because I'm being led. I'm being led by God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. To get us where we are today.
Right. I would agree with that, because when you look at where we are today, when you look at how similar our lives are and our purposes in life and, you know, the encouragement of women and, you know, the building up and the edification of women, and it is nothing short of God, no one but God. So I would definitely agree with you there. And I think that's why it was so important to have this conversation tonight, you know, not so much so that, you know, the listeners can focus in on, you know, the details, if you will, but more so pull from the experience, you know, take wisdom from it, see how you can pull from this experience, this conversation, and be able to look at your own children, and hopefully we can, you know, help parents and children avoid unnecessary pain, you know.
Right.
And I like what you said about, you know, us not even touching or hugging, you know, even in that there was, I don't know, I wonder if there was an apprehension on my part because of how I was being touched, you know.
Absolutely.
And maybe on your part, maybe how you were not being touched, or, you know, we just don't. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I would just encourage. Go ahead.
I think that for you, you're right. For you and for me, it was because I didn't even know what it felt like. I didn't even know what it meant, because, you know, I mean, seven kids and my mom passed away and my father military. You know, where's the constant hug? You know, because it releases, touch releases, touch heals. And when,
mm-hmm.
and the way that I have lived my life from 9 to, I'm going to say 30, well, when I had my daughter at 18, touch meant a lot when I finally touched my child at 18,
mm-hmm.
giving birth to my child. That was my first time of actually feeling that unconditional touch.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time feeling that unconditional touch. So, yeah, we never touched, but we had that kindred spirit.
Wow.
That wow.
Well, we can go on and on and on talking about this experience, our childhood experience, and even our, you know, adulthood and what it means now. We're winding down to about the 5-minute mark of the conversation. So I just want to see if you have any closing remarks on friendship and even the unwanted touch or the power of touch, being that you're a masseuse to the entertainment industry. Tell me and tell our listeners, how do you see friendship and touch, and do they correlate?
They do correlate. They do, because
mm-hmm.
there's different types of needs and wants in a person's
mm-hmm.
life. You know, I have mm-hmm. I massage over 125 people a month, and I get and a lot of my clients have become friends. They have.
Mm-hmm.
They have become confidants. They have become listeners. They've become. They want it's like, for me, it feels like my touch is more of a ministry than just a healing property.
Mm-hmm.
So friendship, even strangers, there's a million people in this, there's a billion people in this world, trillion, you know, 100,000 in your neighborhood. You walk past that person, even if they're not your friend, but there's something, and you make that eye connection with that person, there is something for you to learn about that person. There's something for you to learn about. There's a tool. There's something to get from that person. Not, you can say a hi, you can say a bye, and you don't know what that would make that person feel like. Mm. It may heal them from something. You can't just walk past another human being and not say hi, but not having that expectation that they're going to say hi back. But just reach out and communicate with someone. So a friendship doesn't have to be this hardcore friendship that Ciola and I have, but it could just be a stranger walking and passing on the street. But you have to learn from that experience and apply it to the next chapter in your life or the next person that you meet. There's always something to learn. That's one thing my father taught me. Something to learn about everything that happens in your life. Every minute, every second, there's something always to learn. Don't just push it underneath the carpet. Learn it, apply it, and teach it to someone else. That's
okay, so we're down. Okay, that was good. So we're down to the last 3 minutes, and we're going to wrap up here. So I just wanted, to summarize what I kind of derived from what you're saying is that connection is important, whether it be through a spoken word, whether it be through a touch. Connection and communication is essential to life itself. Does that summarize what you were saying? Okay, awesome.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome. So if we can take anything from what we discussed today, we want to say to all parents, you know, be mindful of your children, because, you know, just because they're silent or they're shy. In my mother's case, they used to say she was always shy, but I went further and I asked why, you know, why? So please don't just assume your kids are a certain kind of way. They're shy for no reason. Ask the question why, and really pay attention to your children. And understand that friendship is essential to life, and connection and communication are essential as well. Valencia, I want to take this opportunity, my sweetheart, my love, my BFF, to say thank you so much for taking time to talk with us this evening, for opening up and being so candid with us. We really, really, really appreciate you, and I love you with all of my heart.
Thank you for having me. And
You're more than welcome. More than welcome. All right, so we have about a minute and 50 seconds. So I just want to remind you that the Trinity Tour will be in Las Vegas on March 11th, and you can find out more information at www.trinitybectour.com. Valencia is a masseuse in the Los Angeles area. You can find her on Facebook under listentomyhands.com. Is that the website address, Valencia?
Listen to My Hands Therapeutic Massage.
Okay, there you go. Listen to My Hands Therapeutic Massage. You definitely want to get touched by these hands via massage. Let me clarify. And so Sister Talk happens every Thursday night at 7 p.m. We encourage you to join us next week. We're going to have another powerful topic, and we would love to hear your feedback. And you can send us your feedback via email at info@sceoanew.org. May God continue to bless you. And again, thank you for taking your time to join us. Trinity Tour, Las Vegas, Saturday, March 11th. Oh, and we have a couple of more seconds. We solidified the date for the Los Angeles area for the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour. We've had folks asking us, when are we coming to Los Angeles? Well, my dear friend Valencia was able to go and handle some business for us today, and we solidified that venue, and the date is Saturday, April 29th in the Los Angeles area. We will post more information on our website and on our Facebook page, Trinity Break Every Chain Tour or trinitybectour.com. Again, thank you for joining us, And Valencia, I love you, and I will talk with you soon. God bless all.
Thanks.
And have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.